ShadowcastAudio.com presents The Masters of Horror, the anthology. Welcome to a world hidden behind the blinds of reality, a landscape waiting to be molded into a thing of pain and torture. This anthology is not for the faint-hearted. The ideas, themes, and disturbing images portrayed within will send your brain into overdrive on the road to madness. This book is guaranteed to rob you of sleep at night and bring you the nightmares you've most feared. You've been warned. J.C. Hart is a writer of speculative fiction who enjoys delving into human nature in all its beauty and disarray. While she spends most of her time being a loving mother and wife, her thoughts are never far away from whatever story she is currently working on. You can find out more about J.C. Hart at www.just-cassie.com.
It's all in the cards. It's your go, Germ, Billy said. Jeremy Taylor pulled a card from his pile and turned it onto the table. The other boy laughed. Jeremy rocked back in his seat, head falling to his chest in defeat as he shoved his small pile across the table. "Want to play again, Germ?" Billy asked, still laughing. "No, I've got to go." He stood, grabbing his bag and moving out of the school grounds, ignoring the calls of his friend. He headed towards Main Street and Salvation, the only decent comic shop in town. The store was virtually empty at this time of day, the typical after-school crowd having headed home by now to wash up for dinner. Pushing his way through the door, he made his way towards the counter and the shop assistant who was engrossed in the latest Spider-Man comic. "Hey, man, what can I do you for?" the guy said, giving Jeremy a nod as he placed the comic down on the counter. "I need some new cards." Jeremy flashed a couple at the assistant, who turned and rummaged in one of the drawers behind him. "Just one pack?" "Two, thanks." The assistant swung back, pushing two shiny metallic packets across the counter to him, and rung the total up on the till. "That'll be $17.90. Jeremy pulled the 20 out and handed it across. As he collected his change and turned, he walked straight into another customer, and his old cards fluttered to the floor. "Sorry," he squeaked, bending down to scoop them up. He fingered through, making sure he'd got them all, and found one he didn't recognise. A faithful companion card. "Here, I think this one's yours." He offered it to the boy in front of him, and the other kid backed up a step and shook his head. "No, that's not mine." "Oh," Jeremy said, shrugging. "Okay, well, I'm sorry I bumped into you." "No, it's fine, really." The boy's eyes were still wide as he turned and rushed out the door. "Weirdo," Jeremy muttered under his breath, but tucked the card into his pocket anyway. It was getting darker outside, and a breeze had picked up. He wished he'd bought a jacket, but at least he didn't have far to go. A howl sounded in the distance, reminding Jeremy of the attacks that had been happening lately, so he set out, legs stretching as he lengthened his stride. He hadn't gone far when he felt a light thud against his back. He tried to ignore it, but the small pelts came harder and faster until he turned. Billy was standing about 5 feet behind him, jiggling a small selection of stones in his hand, a smirk plastered on his face. "What do you want, Billy?" Jeremy said with a sigh. "Oh, come on, Germ, you know what I want. I just saw you going to Salvation. I bet you have some pretty new cards to play with," Billy grinned. "Why don't you just hand them over now? Saves me having to take them." "You won by luck, and it's not going to happen again." Jeremy's shoulders stiffened, his irritation that Billy could be so demanding rising. "Oh yeah?" Billy moved towards him, each step steady and confident. "Yeah," Jeremy mumbled, taking a step backwards despite himself. Billy launched into the air, landing on him with a thud and taking them both to the ground. He could feel gravel biting into his back through his thin shirt, and cried out as he tried to push Billy off. The other boy raised his fist and swung it down towards Jeremy's face. "No!" he cried out, raising his hands as it moved towards him. When the impact came, it wasn't as hard as he thought it would be, but it connected on his chin and knocked his face sideways onto the pavement. He braced himself for another punch, but instead felt Billy's weight being pushed from his body. What the? He brought his hands down and looked up, seeing that a mangy dog was pinning Billy to the ground. As the canine swung his head and growled in Jeremy's direction, he found himself getting to his feet and taking off down the street. As he slammed the door behind him and sucked in air, it dawned on him that he'd just left Billy to the beast that had been terrorizing the town. "Mum," he called out. "Mum, where are you?" "Jeremy, what happened?" she asked, rushing towards him and gently stroking the swelling on his face. "A fight. It's nothing," he said quickly, brushing her hand aside. "The dog. It attacked us. Billy, I had to run." "Billy?" His mother looked confused. "He was attacked, back down the street, by that dog. We need to go and find him, then. Come on." His mother took a firm grip on his arm and led him from the house to the car. Once they were belted in, Jeremy pointed the way, and within moments, they could see Billy lying on the sidewalk. He didn't want to get out of the car, but his mother made him. Billy was groaning as they approached, and Jeremy's mother helped him to sit up. "You'll be okay," she said with a sigh. "Looks like you were lucky. What on earth were you boys doing out so late?" She shook her head and pulled Billy upright. He wouldn't look at Jeremy, but slid gratefully into the front seat while Jeremy slipped into the back, finding a sudden interest in what lay beyond the window. "So how was school?" his mother asked. From the pointed look she gave him, Jeremy knew that he wasn't to mention their little outing earlier. "I had a great day," Leanne, his sister, beamed. "I got an A in my English assignment." She flicked her eyes towards Jeremy and then away, lips curling at the corner. "Jeremy didn't have such a flash day, though," she continued. "Poor thing," she shook her head, mock sympathy oozing from every pore. "Why? What happened?" His father looked concerned, but that didn't stop him from shoveling food into his mouth. "Nothing, really," Jeremy said quickly. "We've got a speech to do next week. I'm not sure what to do mine on." "What? That's it?" His father scowled and moved his laden fork back to his mouth. "No, that's not it," Leanne said with a sigh. "If you're not going to tell him, then I will." "Leanne," Jeremy squeaked. "They should know." Leanne shook her head, barely attempting to conceal the smirk tugging at her lips. "There was a note being passed around in Jeremy's math class today. His teacher, Mr. Valentine, got hold of it and started reading it out because, you know, if they had stuff that was important enough to disrupt class, then maybe everyone should know." "What does that have to do with Jeremy?" his mother asked, brow creasing slightly. "The note was about how Jeremy..." "Leanne, stop it!" he cut her off. "Why should I?" "The note was about..." "No, Leanne!" he yelled, getting to his feet, fists clenched at his sides. "Oh, sit down, Jeremy," his father said. "It can't be that bad. Hurry up and spit it out, Leanne." Jeremy did as he was told. There was never any point in arguing with his father. "Anyway, it was about how Jeremy still wets the bed. Apparently, Mr. Valentine got halfway through the note before he realised what it was about and stopped. But the whole class knew by then," Leanne chuckled. "It was a bit mean of the teacher, wasn't it?" Jeremy's mother asked. "What happened after that?" She reached out and placed a hand on his forearm, but Jeremy flicked it off. "He kept me behind after class," Jeremy said, his face burning from the shame. "He asked me if I wanted to see a counsellor about my problem." "Did you say yes?" his mother asked, the pitch of her voice rising ever so slightly. "No, it's not really a problem. You know, it doesn't happen much." "The fact that it happens at all is a problem, boy," his father added gruffly. Heat lashed at Jeremy's cheeks. He glared at his sister, then pushed his plate away from him and stood. "I'm going to my room." "You've barely touched your dinner," his mother protested, but Jeremy turned and walked away. Later that night, he was sitting at his window, shuffling through his new cards. The faithful companion was sitting to the side as he was unsure what to do with it. He'd looked online but hadn't found any information. Maybe it was a new release, yet it looked kind of tattered. The animal wasn't exactly shiny itself. More mangy than the name suggested. Sort of like that dog from today. Jeremy brushed the thought from his mind and glanced outside to where he could hear the solid thump of Leanne's soccer ball against the side of the garage. She was the star of the team, certainly the star of their parents' eyes. He was just a disappointment. The whole bedwetting thing tonight had confirmed that. He couldn't do anything right. Yet even when she was being a bitch, people loved her. How come they couldn't see what she was? He should be getting just as much attention as her. And she should just... No, he shut that thought down. He didn't really want her to die. He glanced down at the card again and thought back to the expression on Billy's face when he'd seen the dog, snickering lightly to himself about how freaked out Leanne would be if it had happened to her. She squealed then, and Jeremy turned his attention outside. She was backing away from the bushes for some reason. Then he heard a low growl, and a shudder of recognition swept over his body as a dark dog stalked forward onto the lawn, its claws digging into the ground as it walked. Jeremy watched Leanne turn, launching herself at the back porch with the speed which made her good at her game. The dog was faster. It leapt through the air, landing on her back, forcing her to the ground. The beast's nails dug through her shirt. Her scream testified to the pain. He stood frozen at the window as the dog lowered its jaws to her thigh and ripped into the meaty flesh there, as specks of blood were tossed into the air and his sister continued to scream. No! He called out in horror, shaking his head viciously. The beast dropped its prey and glanced up at the window, a strange glimmer in its eyes as it turned and trotted from the yard. Jeremy breathed hard, trying to stop the pounding in his head. He watched as his parents ran outside to his sister. His mother had the phone in her hand and was frantically speaking into it, pacing the yard as father checked Leanne's pulse and told her that everything was going to be okay. Everything was not okay. Leanne would never play soccer again, though she would recover and possibly have the use of her leg back. Her rising star had been shattered, and Jeremy felt guilty, even though it wasn't his fault, was it? He slipped his hand into the drawer where he'd shoved the card the night before. He desperately wanted to look at it. But what if he'd been right? What if somehow the dog from the card was harming those he was angry at? Jeremy shook his head and let his hand fall to his side as he crossed the room to his bed. His phone started vibrating in his pocket and he fished it out, staring blankly at the screen until his eyes focused. It was Alana. Hi, he said. You? I've been trying to call you forever. He could hear her worry bleeding down the line. I know, I'm sorry, I've just been... busy. How's Leanne? She's alive, that's the main thing. The guilt welled up in him again and he felt like Alana, of all people, was the one he could confess to. Did you hear they caught the dog? She asked. They what? Hope clutched at his throat, forcing his voice out in a squeak. They caught the dog. It was wandering around down by the dump, blood all over its fur. It's dead now. Why did no one call us? He struggled to contain his emotions, relief and joy warring with a silken strand of despair. It wasn't his fault after all. Even in this, he wasn't special. I'm calling you, doofus. If you'd answered your phone earlier, you would have known by now. Yeah, he said dutifully. Thanks. Are you okay? The concern was more than he could take, and he held the phone away from his ear for a moment and took a deep breath. Yeah, I'm fine. Just tired. Did I miss anything at school? No. Mr. V was asking about you, though. Jeremy bit back the first comment that came to mind. What was wrong with him these days? He couldn't seem to control himself anymore. Oh, what did you say? That I didn't know. She sounded sulky. And Jeremy bit his lip, realizing that he should have called her earlier. She was meant to be his best friend. I'm sorry. I'll see you tomorrow, though, I promise. I'll be at school. You better. Tell Leanne that I hope she feels better soon, okay? And your folks, too. Tell them I'm thinking about you all. Thanks, he said, and found that he actually meant it. See you. Jeremy left the phone on his bed and made his way downstairs, nuking a microwave meal and eating it in silence. Both his parents were at the hospital and had left him to fend for himself. He couldn't blame them for that tonight. Leanne needed them more than he did. "Jeremy," Mr. Valentine called out as he approached. Jeremy turned and waited for the teacher to catch up. He was dressed in jogging shorts and a singlet. He pulled his headphones from his ears as he came to a stop. "What do you want?" Jeremy asked. "We didn't get to finish that little chat the other day about your problem." "Yeah, we did," he said pointedly and turned away. The teacher reached out and grabbed his arm, turning him back. "No, we didn't. It's a serious issue. It might lead to premature ejaculation. Then you'd never be happy. You'd never be able to satisfy any girl." This was a dream. This had to be a dream, Jeremy thought. There was no freaking way this was happening. "You're kidding me, right? You're a joke." He turned away again. "It's you who'll be the joke, Jeremy. All the girls laughing about you behind your back. Alana too." "What?" He spun back towards Mr. Valentine, all the muscles in his body clenched. "I've seen how you look at her. She's got a nice little body underneath her uniform, you know. Not that you'll ever see it." Jeremy felt his hands tighten into fists and was about to lash out when he heard that familiar grumble. This time, he wasn't afraid. "Go on, dog. Give him what he deserves. Rip him apart," Jeremy called out as he saw the low shadow of the beast approach. Saliva was dripping from its fangs as if it could sense that it was finally going to have its fill. "What are you waiting for? Do it!" Without any delay, the beast launched itself at Mr. Valentine, pinning him to the ground. Jeremy watched as its teeth tore into his flesh with far greater ease than Leanne's. The teacher's screams filled his ears and blood spattered his face, and his body became drenched with an unexpected sweat, and he swooned at the smell of destruction the beast had unleashed on the air. He mulled over the dream as he piled his wet laundry into the washing machine. It was just a dream, nothing more. The card had no powers. He certainly had no powers. It was just wishful thinking. Jeremy shuddered at the thought and tried to take it back. But for just a moment, he'd like to feel he was something special. That was all. And the stuff about Alana, that was just wishful thinking too. He did like her as more than a friend, but there was no chance that anything could happen. Even in his dreams, he knew that. Sighing, he glanced at the clock. 6:30 a.m. No point going back to bed. A quick shower, and then he would walk to school, grab some breakfast on the way. Four bells rang out around the schoolyard. Dread welled up in Jeremy, and he hoped that the special assembly wasn't about Leanne. "Students, we've called you here today to make sure that you are all informed of the tragedy that has befallen us." Mr. Edwards, the principal, paused as he glanced around the hall. "This morning, one of our beloved teachers was attacked and killed by the dog that has been running rampant around our fair town." The principal continued to talk, but Jeremy heard nothing more. Static had filled his ears, and as he forced his way out of the building, bile rose into the back of his throat. He was retching before he made it to the bin outside. Gasping for air, belly emptied of the remnants of his breakfast, Jeremy sat slumped against the wall, thoughts surging forward and then retreating within his mind. One stood out clearly, though. The image of the boy from Salvation, the one who had all but ran from the store. It had been his card. There was no doubt in Jeremy's mind. He forced himself to his feet, thrusting his hand into the pocket where the card lay warm against his thigh. His fingers tingled as they brushed the glossy image, but he didn't pull it out. Instead, he began to walk, heading back to Salvation. Halfway there, his footsteps faltered. If he dropped the card and ran, like that other boy, more people would be hurt or killed. He wouldn't be doing anyone any favours, only himself. For once, he didn't want to run away and make it someone else's problem. Jeremy turned and headed back to his house, realising now what he must do. The whole time he had been gathering supplies, Jeremy had thought that he'd heard the drag of canine claws on the carpet in the room above him. the thump of a heavy tail against the wall as it came down the stairs. He forced himself to drink a whole glass of cool water, feeling the chill set into his throat for a moment before being overtaken by the heat in his pocket once more. And then he placed the glass down, as calmly as he could, and headed for the door. Within 10 minutes, he had reached the local park, and he dumped the contents of his backpack on the ground, quickly assembling the paper and sticks into a good bunch above the fire starter. He slipped the lighter from his pocket, his hands sweating as he flicked the flame to life. It shone before him, small but pure, as he set it to the paper and watched it catch. It struggled for a moment before spreading to the fire starter, which sparked immediately and began to consume everything around it. As he pulled the card from his pocket, he glanced down, noticing that the dog didn't look that scary after all. It seemed ridiculous to think that it was the cause of the attacks, that he was the cause of the attacks. And it was such a nice-looking card. Steeling himself to the task, Jeremy began to stretch his hand out towards the flames. And then he heard it, that low growl he was so familiar with now. He didn't want to turn, though he could feel its breath on the back of his neck, and now a trickle of drool running down the collar of his shirt. Jeremy's hand hovered so close to the flame now. He couldn't draw it back, not even for his life. He stretched it out a little further, but as the flame stirred to catch it, the beast leaped onto him, claws digging deep into his shoulders, his own body smothering the paltry flames of his fire. Alana was cutting through the park on her way home from school when she caught a whiff of smoke in the air. Following her nose, she found a small fire that was almost burnt out and kicked some dirt at it to smother it. Beside the fire, someone had dropped one of those fancy game cards that all the other kids seemed crazy about. She picked it up, and her lips curled into a grin. Some vicious-looking dog beast. It would be the perfect thing to hold ransom over her little brother. Richard would do anything for a card like that. Alana glanced around again to make sure no one was looking, then slipped it into her pocket, liking the way that it sat there. Nothing else seemed to have been left behind, other than a ratty old backpack that looked vaguely like Jeremy's. She didn't stop to consider that, though. She just wanted to get home and start tormenting her brother.
This has been a presentation of ShadowcastAudio.com and is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Copy it, share it, pimp it all you want. Just don't try to sell it or change it. We keep this going through you, the listener. For the duration of the Masters of Horror podcast, all who make donations to ShadowcastAudio.com will receive an ebook copy of the Masters of Horror. Just specify which format you would like. In addition, you'll also be entered to win a print version signed by myself, which will be given away at the end of the last episode. The music for the podcast is an original piece done specifically for the Masters of Horror by Christopher Carlson. Find more great selections at ChristopherCarlson.com. Thanks for listening.
Becoming mixed up in the beginnings of a gang war. Frank, a mysterious bounty hunter, gets more than he bargained for in his latest assignment. A team of unusual hitmen are after him, comprising of an ex-casino boss who is dead but alive, and a criminal who is alive but should be dead. Throw in an escort girl, a man called Joe, who has a taste for something bad, and the devil, and you have one hell of an interesting story. It's getting closer. The heat is rising. Boiling point is approaching. And if you live in the city, then you have no idea what is going on until boiling point has been achieved. Frank, Volume 1, Boiling Point, is coming soon from author Neil Colquhoun. For more information, please visit neilcolquhoun.com.